Welcome to Awake Nations Ministries, based in the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Australia. Here the fire of revival ignites hearts and fuels a supernatural move of God throughout the nations of the earth. Join us each week for prophetic insights, apostolic teaching, and powerful conversations that will equip you to live fully awakened in your kingdom purpose. This is more than a podcast. It's a movement. Learn more about us by visiting awakenations.org. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
And I feel like what he's speaking is just so clear. He's so sovereign. And I think his voice is just the most powerful thing. I was just so overcome, even in the worship. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Kat. It's very clear what he's doing, and I think there's a theme even in today on what he wants to do. He's after our hearts. It's actually really funny. I was actually going to title this little mini message, The God of Jacob, but I'm actually going to title it something else. I titled it, Let Your Light Shine. So, yeah, why don't we start with prayer before we open the word? All right, let's all bow our heads and pray. God, thank you. God, thank you for your intent for us, for your love. I thank you that the life that you breathed in us was a breath of love. I thank you that your desire for us was to connect and to share with us, God, to be with us. And Lord, I just pray that among us, among this people, that you would receive everything you paid for. God, I thank you for igniting your life and your spirit within us, not to keep us hidden, but for us to shine for you, to live purely with one heart devotion for you, God. You're the choice that we make. You're the yes that we give. So I thank you, Lord, that as you minister to your people today, including me, that there'd be no veil, no hindrance. Speak in complete clarity. Refresh us, God, any weariness, any wounds, Lord. I thank you that you're removing and undoing the callous of our hearts so that we can continue to pursue after you in first love flame. You are after us, God. So we worship you, we thank you, and we honor you in all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. So on that same vein, I was so struck this week by Exodus, how in Exodus 34:14, it says, "You shall worship no other God, for the Lord your God is a jealous God, and his name is jealous." I actually didn't know that the name of God was also jealous, because he has many names. We often call on Yeshua and Jehovah Jireh, provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. But I actually didn't realize another name of the Lord is jealous. And it just really touched me. And so when you look at jealous, the Hebrew word of that, kana, I think it's pronounced, it says to be zealous, to burn with passion, and to be intensely protective or possessive. It's actually a covenantal passion, this fierce desire to protect, you know, love from being divided, from being betrayed, or from being stolen. Much like a husband, I think it's just so telling of God's possessive heart and his possessive nature for us. Like, we were costly. He made us with all his desire. And the Bible describes Jesus as our bridegroom and us as his bride. And so, you know, I think a lot of us in here are married, and that wouldn't be a secret, right? Like, who of us would be in here and we'd be ashamed, or we'd be afraid, or, you know, to tell everybody that we're married? We wouldn't. It'd be weird. The only reason why you would hide a marriage is if you were, yeah, ashamed or unfaithful, or if you were fearful of what other people would think. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. You know, marriage is not easy, and making that commitment to someone to face the highs and lows of life together, it takes a lot of commitment. It takes a lot of bravery, you know, continually choosing each other when it's not easy. And it's the exact same for God. He's so jealous for us. And, you know, imagine, you know, we face these storms of life, or even when things are good, if we came home and ran to another lover, or if we ran to maybe another vice, or maybe another comfort. I burn for my husband. My husband burns for me. We burn for each other. And so, you know, if I were to see, like, oh, this is taking my place, I'd feel betrayed. I would feel a jealous longing for my husband. And that's how he feels about us. One of my favorite scriptures, Zephaniah 3:8, at the end of that section, he says, the Lord says, for in the fire of my jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. It's not a small thing. It's not a small thing. It's not just about his flame consuming, yes, what's broken and what's wicked, it purifies us, but it's also not just a jealousy about other gods. It's about the divided heart of his people. like, yes, there's broken and wickedness out there, but his actual primary concern is his people being after the one thing, being so concerned for him and only him. So, you know, and this is a little bit of a side trail. I didn't actually plan this, but I think that especially in this hour, there's a lot of mixture, justified mixture in this generation, but even particular in the church, sometimes we can trample on what's sacred and say we're justified by the blood and a little bit of this is okay and a little bit of that is okay and all scripture doesn't mean this. Scripture is a bit, you know, gray on this. It's actually not. God is still holy. God is gracious, but he is still very much holy. His name is still jealous. And I think that we have to be bold and unashamed about that, about our marriage with Christ. Yeah, he's just holy. And in Isaiah 33:14-16, it says, who among us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with the everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously. Even in Psalms, it says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. And then in Matthew 5:8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The root word of that is katharos, which means clean, unmixed, and unalloyed. And heart is cardia, meaning the core of the person. So the thoughts, the will, emotions, the intentions, not just feelings, not just this Sunday show up and be in the service and that's my box ticked and I'm going to go about my week. No, he cares about even our very thoughts, our intentions in every moment, 24/7. I think that that purity is what he's calling on us to pursue because he wants to be close with us. I just really encourage all of us to not quench the flame of the Holy Spirit. God's jealousy and God's love calls us to live with pure hearts and be visible about it, to shine brightly and persevere with purpose, and to not trade what's sacred and eternal for temporary satisfaction. I'm actually going to ask you guys to open your Bibles quickly to Matthew 6:13-16, please. Matthew 6:13-16. All right, are we all mostly there? Cool. So this is in the Beatitudes, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Yeah, I think that we can pull a lot of identity and a lot of purpose out of this passage. It's so dense and there's a lot in here. You know, we're salt, we're light, we're a city, and we're made to walk in good works with purity and to give glory to our Father. You know, so salt in the root word of salt and back in those days, it's halas, and it actually symbolized covenant, purity, and preservation. And I think that's really important. So if we think, you know, in the modern day, if we are salt, what that looks like. I think it talks about holding the line morally, and they also use it as an antiseptic. I think in today's world, we're called to heal people. We're walking in a lot of brokenness. I think we're called to hold the line morally, to heal people. And also, I salt my food because it brings out the flavor. We're meant to bring joy to people. We're meant to enhance life. We're meant to actually bring a little bit of spice into people's life. I think we're different. You know, rub people the wrong way, but in a good way. Even if maybe they don't see it that way. It was a valuable commodity. You know, being the light stands for, the root word of that is phos, which means God's truth and presence revealed. So when it talks about you're the light of the world, it's actually echoing Isaiah 49:6, where Israel was called to be a light to the nations. And we're called to light up dark places and circumstances. And the next thing it says that we're a city, a company and community of people unified in the things of God. So those three things I think should give us a lot of purpose. I don't think we should ever walk around in our life with God aimless, feeling like we don't have purpose, like we weren't made with intention. We're actually all called to something. Maybe we need to hold the line morally a little bit. Or maybe we need to minister some healing to some broken people. We need to be praying for them, interceding for them. Or maybe there's someone who's in a really dark place and you need to bring some joy. Maybe, you know, you need to encourage them. And I think as well that takes a lot of strength and a lot of bravery. We can't be afraid. We cannot be afraid of hurting people's feelings. True friends stab you in the front, as I always say. But yeah, amen. Look, anyway, all that to say, yeah. If you have food in your teeth, you'd want your friend to tell you, right? Yeah, that's how I see it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to walk around with food in my teeth. You know, it might be embarrassing, but you'd let them know. Anyway, I think the world needs more radiant, unashamed lovers with pure hearts and invisible lives that glorify God. And ask the Lord, how am I meant to do that in this season? Our identity is preserved through purity by making the choice of purity and going after the one thing and not hiding it, not being ashamed of it. So just going to do one more passage of scripture. Cool, I'm doing great for time. Thank you, Jesus. So can we go to Genesis 25, 29 to 34? Going to quickly look at Jacob and Esau. Esau. How do y'all say Esau? Esau? Okay, I don't know why I say Esau, but I say the sound, yeah, okay. 25, 29 to 34. All right, I'm going to read it. There's quite a lot in here again, but it says, "Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted.' Therefore his name was called Edom. Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright now.' Esau said, 'I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?' Jacob said, 'Swear to me now.' So Esau swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob Esau gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rode and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." There is so much in here. But for one thing, I can be a bit of an Esau when I'm hungry and tired. But I think, like, look, I mean, I think one of the main things that stood out for me here is that Jacob was being manipulative. He knew the significance of Esau's birthright. You know, basically, just to break down what his birthright was that he's the grandson of Abraham, the very father Abraham, the "I will make your descendants the number of stars" Abraham. So he wasn't inheriting a small thing. He was carrying the messianic line. And his birthright was 2/3, like a double portion of the inheritance. So it's 2/3 of all the familial possessions and material wealth. It was headship over the family. It was, yeah, that covenant blessing from Abraham. And so, you know, in the end, when it says Esau despised his birthright, it's bazar. He bazared his birthright. It means to treat with contempt or worthlessness. And so, you know, I was really convicted because I think it really highlights trading something very momentary for something that was eternal. He was being very short-sighted. And I think that, you know, we can often allow our emotions, like our tiredness, or, you know, maybe we don't want to fast because we're really hungry and we like food. You know, I think that what are the things that we are trading that are temporary for eternal significance? And even in Hebrews 12:16, the author reflects on Jacob and Esau. And it's a section where it's talking about being disciplined by God and how God's discipline actually makes us legitimate sons, and to yield to it and to have endurance for it because it leads to healing. And those who don't, it actually calls Esau godless, worldly, irreverent, secular in mindset. So it wasn't just a mistake in what he was trading. It was actually about the posture of his heart. He didn't value what was sacred. So, you know, I think what the Lord is trying to say is that he's drawing us closer to himself. And there are going to be things, there are going to be areas that we're quite comfortable with and that maybe we haven't seen as an issue for a very long time. Or maybe back in the day we were really, really good with it, but now time has passed and we've kind of given up in that wrestle. But the Lord says, no, I want it. I want it. I don't want it coming in the way of your calling. I don't want it coming in the way of everything that I have called you to do. So just to close, can I just get everyone to close their eyes for a minute? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all that you've said. I thank you that you're asking us to not trade the flame, to not neglect or underestimate the weight of your plans and your purposes and your assignments over us. I just want to say to you guys, you're so valuable and made with intent by God. Let his jealous love draw you in and refine you. We don't have to be perfect. We just have to keep trying. We just have to be yielded. We should desire that his full manifest glory, everything he paid for, would shine brightly through us. So Holy Spirit, I pray, would you highlight every area that's maybe a bowl of stew in comparison to what you're calling us to? Is it fear of man? Is it money? Is it security? Is it comfortability? Is it our emotions? Lord, I pray you'd put your finger on that now. Lord, where have I become dulled? Where have I put my lampstand under a basket? What are the items, Lord, that are competing for our heart's affection for you? Thank you, Jesus, that in Psalm 43 it says, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. And I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, for your empowerment. Yes. And I thank you, God, that you're rekindling our flames again. Rekindle our first love fire, Lord. Yes. Any fears? Thank you, God, for your healing. We want to give you our fresh yes again. Some of you, I can sense, are afraid to give him your yes. The Lord says, don't be afraid. I will take care of you. If he dresses the lilies and cares for the birds of the air, how much more? We're like, God, but I haven't seen that in my life. He will show you. Remember your history with the Lord, but also he will do it again. And so, God, I pray you would make yourself manifest to each and every single person in here. You would light our flames again, and we would just continually give us our yes with strength and endurance in Jesus' name. Amen.